Scripture reading will be from John chapter 6, verses 48 through 51, and I'll be reading from the New International Version. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes from which comes from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from the heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world.
Morning. It's great to see Josh today and to meet Katie. And you have to move back. I'm sorry. I have to break the news to you, but we need tinners. Tinners are an endangered species. And so you can start packing when you get back after your vacation. But well, it's great to see you, Josh, and great to meet you, Katie. Really wonderful to have you, and to have our brother Gene. What a blessing to see Gene today. So grateful, and thank God for his answer to our prayers. And our brother from the Arctic Circle has returned to warm Southern California. It's great to see Randy and others that are visiting with us today. So glad that you're here. Just good to be together on the first day of the week, to be able to worship together. And first of all, just want to remind everyone, the men, about a special day coming up here. Saturday, February 9th, Ken Wilson will be here. Ken was with us in the fall, gave a very, very good seminar on the family. He'll be here February 9th on a Saturday to speak to the men of the congregation. February 10th, he'll be teaching the Bible class and preaching on Profile of a Servant Leader. Many of us have, I know we've already read Ken's book on servant leadership. He has so many good things to say. This is for all of the men and young men of our congregation. Whatever your station and your walk in life, it's not necessarily about being an elder or a deacon. It's about being a man who serves God in whatever capacity God has called you to do and to be. And all of us have opportunities as men in the kingdom of God to use influence and leadership to be a blessing to the kingdom and to be faithful in our calling as Christian men. Brothers, if you've got something planned on February 9th, cancel it. Cancel it. Stop it. Don't do it. Plan to be here. This is important. This is really an important time to be together. The elders have brought Brother Wilson here for this purpose. And I just want to encourage every man in our congregation and young man to mark out that day. It's from about 9 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon on Saturday, February 9th. It'll be such an encouraging day, an uplifting day, a day of spiritual blessing, of introspection, and of setting goals for our own lives and being the men that God wants us to be. Had a call from Brother Doug Padgett. A lot of you know Doug at Beaumont. He called this week asking some questions about the workshop and said, just want to let you know we're bringing 10 brothers from the Beaumont congregation. And I was just so encouraged. We want to be in the next week or two, we're going to be calling churches in the area just to remind them of this. We don't get many opportunities just to really take a day as men and be together and to think about how God calls us in special ways to serve in the kingdom. And this is just one of those days in this year. Hope and pray that you'll be a part of that. And looking forward to having Brother Ken with us again. Today and tonight, our theme is bread. I love bread. I like just about any kind of bread. And I'm starting off with a little bit of a quiz. This is a pretty easy one. This is a... Very good. You know, I didn't know what a bagel was till about 10 or 12 years ago, I don't think. I've led a sheltered life, but bagels are good. I just love pretty much any kind of bread. You know what those are? Those are baguettes, or you might call them something else. I think I'll probably stump you on this. This is a Jamaican bread made of the cassava root called bammy. Has anybody here ever had bammy? I've never actually heard of bammy before. And from the UK and from Canada, I've got to ask Dan about this. Have you ever heard of bannock? Never heard of bannock. From China, a very thick tortilla type of bread called bing. We're still in the B's. This is in alphabetical order, by the way. We're still in the B's. I'm going to skip a bunch, but maybe you've heard of brioche, made with a lot of eggs and cream from France. One of my favorites. I learned about this food in Kenya, but it's from Pakistan and India. It's chapati. This is, I mean, I love tortillas, but chapatis are, they're pretty amazing. And we have to have something from the good old US of A. Cornbread. This is the skillet variety. If you didn't recognize the skillet variety of cornbread, no, those aren't pancakes, kids. That's fancy bread from France. So sorry about that. Also from France, the ever-present croissant. You know that one? From Ethiopia. A very interesting fermented soft bread. We ate it the first time in Kenya. It's kind of a sour taste. It's called injera. They pick up all this, all of the food is kind of laid out on the bread, and then you just, it's got, you eat the bread as you eat the meal. We are skipping along here. This is probably something you've never seen before in your life. It's very unique. It's called matzo. But maybe you've heard of it, maybe not. I don't know. We're in the M's, however. Now we're moving to Iran and northern India. Naan, I heard someone say. This is getting that, especially with garlic on it, is pretty cool if you've ever had naan. From the Philippines. I hope this is right. We have some Philippine sisters here. Pandesal, I hope I'm pronouncing it right. And again, from Asia, we have papadum. If you've ever had that, it's pretty spicy, pretty good. I'll take anybody out to dinner who guesses this. It's from Serbia. It's called proja. So I thought I was pretty safe on that. And sopapillas from Central and South America. Of course, in everybody's refrigerator at home, tortillas. And from Switzerland, Zopf, and the twice-baked bread from Germany. Very good, very good. I heard that from back there, from the back. Very good. Yeah, bread. Today we're talking about bread. Bread is life, it's sustenance, it is basic, it's universal. Everybody eats bread. Every culture seems to eat some kind of bread, and it becomes a metaphor for us, doesn't it? The bread of life. The bread of life. It's what we need to live. It's what we need to survive. This last week, was reading in our daily Bible reading. I'm a little bit ahead, so if it seems out of sync, that's why. But I read a story that really caught my attention about bread. It's a story of manna in the wilderness. In Exodus chapter 16, the children of Israel have barely dried off from the spray of the Red Sea when they come up on the other side into the wilderness in Exodus 16 and are complaining that they don't have anything to eat. And they're wanting meat, and they're wanting bread, and they're wanting something to drink, and they're ready to go back to the land of Egypt. And they're grumbling, and they're starving. And so God says to Moses in Exodus 16, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on other days." So God says, I'm going to take care of Israel. I'm going to give them the bread they need every day. I'm going to demonstrate to them that I truly am the God who has delivered them from Egypt. We continue in Exodus chapter 16, verse 13, and it says, "And in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord commanded. Each one is to gather as much as he needs. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent.' The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. Each one gathered as much as he needed." God keeps his promise. Bread comes, manna falls, daily bread. And isn't it amazing? It's exactly the amount that they need. If they get a lot, they have just what they need. If they get a little, they don't have too little. They just have exactly what they need for one day. But some of them have trouble in obedience. Moses said to them, "No one is to keep any of it until morning." However, some of them paid no attention to Moses, and they kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. the bread is ruined. It's spoiled. It doesn't keep overnight. It's just daily bread. It's good for one day. And some have trouble trusting God. As we go on reading in verse 21, it says, each morning everyone gathered as much as he needed. And when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, two omers for each person. And the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it until morning. So they saved it until morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. Eat it today, Moses said, because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you were to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any. And so now the bread stays overnight, but it's according to God's instruction. They have enough for the Sabbath day, and they eat the bread on the seventh day. But still, there's some folks who are struggling with their trust issues. Verse 27, nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? People aren't listening. They aren't completely following and trusting God as he's providing for their bread. And in verse 31, it says, the people of Israel called the bread manna. It was like white coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded. Take an omer of manna and keep it for the generations to come so they can see the bread I gave you to eat in the desert when I brought you out of Egypt. And as we go on to verse 35, we find out for 40 years, God provided daily bread for the children of Israel according to this pattern. It's a story a lot of us have heard for years, and it's a story of God's provision. But it isn't just a story about provision. It's a story of testing. God is testing his people. He is going to give them bread. He's going to give them bread one day at a time, no more, no less, exactly what they need, not enough for the next day, just enough for one day. He gives them very specific instructions about how they're to gather it and prepare it. And the question is, will they obey him? Will they follow the instructions? Will they trust God for their daily bread? And obviously some do. Some follow the instructions that God gives, but some have difficulty. Some think, well, maybe I should keep just a little extra. I mean, what if it's a little short tomorrow? Maybe I'll keep just a little extra bread today. And we see what's happened to them. Some go out on a day when God says there's not going to be any, and they go out and are disappointed when, in fact, there isn't any bread on the seventh day. And the story, as a test, I think raises questions for us as well. Will I trust God for my daily bread? Will I trust God for my daily bread? And this is one of those weeks where different things come together. You know how that works sometimes in your life? This is where the daily Bible reading intersected our small group Bible study on Thursday night, where we're studying in Luke 11. And a week ago, we were talking about the prayer of Jesus there in Luke 11, and the deeper meaning of daily bread began to kind of dawn on me. You know, in Luke chapter 11, verse 3, in the model prayer, Jesus says, give us each day our daily bread. We talked about culture, how in those days people didn't have refrigerators. They didn't have large pantries. Every day they went out and just got the bread that they needed for the day. And we talked about how unlike our own times that is, with refrigerators, with pantries full of food. And then someone made a comment in our group. They said, well, this just takes us back to the story of manna in the wilderness. And I thought, well, yeah, it does, doesn't it? But I don't think I got what they were really getting at. I don't think I understood what they were really meaning. And then a couple of days later, I was reading the story in our daily Bible reading in Exodus chapter 16, and it dawned on me, I think, what that person was getting at. And I began to see the prayer of Jesus and the story of the manna in a new light, in a different light, in a more relevant and in a very challenging and convicting way. I don't know about you, but I don't have trouble trusting God for daily bread. I have never had difficulty trusting God for daily bread. And the reason for that is I have never been hungry. I have never gone hungry in my life. Oh, I get hungry between meals. I want to have breakfast when I get up. But you know what I'm talking about. I've never lived in a house where there wasn't food in a refrigerator. I've never lived in a house where there wasn't food in a cupboard, at least for the next few days. So it's been real easy. Oh, yeah, give us this day our daily bread. I haven't really had much of a struggle with that because I've always had the daily bread and much more. But then, in thinking about the story of the manna and the prayer of Jesus, it brought this to kind of a different level for me, and a challenging one and a relevant one, because it dawned on me that daily bread is what I need today for my life. It isn't just the food. It isn't just what I'm going to have for lunch today. My daily bread in my relationship with God is what I need today from God in order to live and to deal with what's happening in my life. It's what I need to survive. It's what I need to thrive on this day in my life. And so it relates to so many things that are going on in my life right now. It relates to the needs that I have, to the needs I have as a human being, as a person, before God, the problems that I'm dealing with in my life. I need daily bread to deal with the problems that I'm facing. Any fears that may come up in my life, any uncertainties, any fears that I have, illnesses that we may be dealing with, infirmities, weaknesses, even our temptations, losses. We struggle with grief and losses that are so significant to us. And it's, God, what are you going to give me today to help me with this? I need to live today. I need to survive this day. I need your blessing today in order to get through. It's what I need for security, to feel secure in my life with God, in my life on this earth, the blessings that I rely on for joy, to have some kind of meaning in life. God, give me daily bread. Help my life to mean something today. Help me to find contentment in my life. Help me to know peace. These are the things that I need every day. Every day, you and I are dependent upon God for this daily bread. What do you need today in your life, in your circumstances, with your needs, with your problems? What do I need? And the question is, will I trust God for that? Will I trust God today for everything I need for my life today? And will I have that trust every day? Or will I borrow trouble from tomorrow? I'm very good at that. I'm very good at that. I'm very good at dealing with trouble that doesn't even exist yet, but that might exist, or that's probable to exist. Imagining the worst. But will I trust God for what I need today? Or will I rely on myself? Will I rely on my own plans? Will I rely on my own resources, on my own thinking, on my own abilities? Will my heart have any fear because I doubt that God will provide for me today what I need in my life today, given the situations that I face? Will I trust God for my daily bread? But the more you begin to think about this, you see the deeper and deeper the issue goes. Will I trust God for the unknown? Because there's a whole lot of things about my life that are unknown, even today, let alone tomorrow. Will I trust God when I don't know what tomorrow is? Will I trust God in light of my greatest fears? Will I trust God in the face of the worst case scenario, the nightmare that I dread, the unthinkable? Will I trust God for my daily bread then, when I face the unknown? And it goes deeper. It goes down to a level I don't even really like to think about very often. But we have to. Will I trust God for my daily bread when God tells me no? There's a few times in my life, a small number of times, when I know what I needed from God. I know exactly what I needed from God. And I ask Him for it. It is what I needed that day, at that moment, in that very hour, for my life to go on in a meaningful way with His blessing. It's what I knew I needed. And I asked for Him. I ask Him for that in confidence and faith. Some of us, you know what it's like. You're on your knees in prayer and the tears are flowing and you're beseeching the Lord God for something that you know is good and would bless your life and is exactly the bread that you need at that moment. And you're praying with a pure heart and God does not give it. And I think of some moments in my life where it seemed my life would end because He said no. When He did not give me what I asked, and it was good, what I wanted was good, and my heart broke and I didn't understand how He could say that. What sense does this make? And I still don't understand. That's the greatest test of faith. This is the greatest test of faith for trusting God for our daily bread. God calls upon you and I to trust when we do not know what the future holds and when that future unfolds in a way that we would never have chosen. He continues to call upon us to trust Him to provide. To what extent are we willing to trust? To what extent are we willing to put our confidence in God? To what extent will we go to find our peace and rest in Him, even in the face of the unknown, even when He tells us no? This is a question that each of us grapples with. We face this question every day, and it's sometimes in our life the question looms larger than others because of the scope of the issues that we're dealing with in our life at that time. And our ability to trust God for our daily bread, it comes back to the core issue of our life with God. That's our relationship with God. The only way that you and I can trust God absolutely for our daily bread is for our love for God and our relationship with Him to surpass every other love and every other relationship in our life. Is God my greatest love? Truly. This is a difficult question. Oh, we know what we want the obvious answer to be. Is God my greatest love? Do I love God more than I love myself? Do I love God more than I love my way? Do I love God more than I love my wife? Do I love God more than I love my children, my family? Do I love God more than I love life itself? Do I love God in His ways because He is God? Do I have that kind of relationship with God? That's what's at the heart of our ability to trust God. And the man who illustrates this principle so clearly in the scriptures is Job. You know his story. You know the story of Job. He's blessed. He is so blessed. You talk about daily bread. It's abundant. God has given him a feast. He has children. He has riches. He has houses. He has cattle. He has wealth. He has a good reputation. He's healthy. He's well respected. And then, in a time of testing, everything is gone. Everything is gone. He is just barely even holding on to life itself. And the question that's posed in the book, and the question that's raised at the very outset of the opening of that book, is posed in the conversation between God and Satan. And the question is basically this: will a man love and worship and obey God and submit his heart and his life to God purely because he is God? Not because of anything he receives, but purely because he is God. Will I love God for God's own sake? Will I love God because he's my creator and my redeemer, regardless of anything else that's going on? Or do I attach conditions to my love? I will love you and trust you as long as. Is there a deal breaker between me and God when it comes to my ability to trust Him for my daily bread and what I need? Is there a place God can take me where I would say, enough, I don't trust you anymore? Are there conditions that I'm not willing to accept in my life? And sometimes we get pushed to that very edge. Job experiences the absolute worst. Can you imagine what Job endures? The loss of his children, the loss of every possession, basically, the loss of his health, the loss of his hope. And he never understands why. He never gets an answer. He's never told. And though his suffering is so great and God seems so far away in his life, Job rises to one of the greatest expressions of faith that's recorded in the Word of God. For Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though God slays me, yet will I trust him. Yet will I hope in him. Amazing declaration of faith. Job says, there's no going back. It's God or nothing. It's God. That's all I've got. That's all I've got left in my life is God, and I'm not letting go of him now. And if he wants to kill me, if for some reason God wants to wipe me off the face of the earth, I will not stop trusting God. Job will trust when he doesn't understand. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. We sang it. You got to be careful what you sing, don't you? Thou art the potter, I'm the clay. Mold me and make me after your will while I am waiting. Yielded. Still. Trusting God for daily bread. That's what Job does. I don't know everybody's problems here this morning, but just through the relationships I have with so many in this family, just sharing life together, talking together about what's going on in our lives and our families, extended families. There are so many people facing deep, deep concerns and hurts and needs today. And if we aren't today, we know from the experience of life, it will be in a month or in 2 months or in 6 months or in a year. We know that's the ebb and flow of life. Our futures are unknown. And we're looking to God. And in this family, there are prayers ascending to God. Prayers that say, God, help us. God, deliver us. God, strengthen us. God, heal us. God, protect us. Those are the prayers that we offer up to our God as we ask him to give us our daily bread. These prayers ascend every day. And on behalf of us as a family, I'd just like to make a simple declaration of faith on our behalf that I trust you will join in. And that is, we will trust God. In these moments, we will trust God. Though we don't understand, we will rely on God's grace. We will put our hope and our faith in God's faithfulness to us. And we will praise God when he responds to our request in ways that so pleasantly work in our lives exactly as we would hope. Oh Lord, that's exactly what I was hoping you would do. That's exactly what we needed. Thank you, Lord. And we'll praise God for that. And we will glorify him. And we will continue to trust him and claim his peace, even when his ways are inscrutable to us and his answers are not what we're looking for. Why would you live that way? What's the source of it? What's the payoff? Why do you live that way? And you know, we know why we live this way. Job knows why you live this way. Every person of faith who's gone through struggles. And it's because it results in the most satisfying, intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father as we trust and entrust our lives, our souls, our well-being into his care every single day, to know him, to trust him, to live in his grace and in his provision. And the reason that we can live this way is because our greatest needs are being met in our relationship with God and his Son, Jesus Christ, who is the living bread. In John chapter 6, verse 30, after the feeding of the 5,000, the crowd's talking to Jesus. This is later. They ask him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do?" "Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Let me just point out that Jesus had just fed them miraculously. And they're asking him, "What are you going to do to prove yourself now?" And they actually reference the manna in the wilderness that Jesus has just provided for them on the hillsides, just in the verses before. Maybe we can get in touch with people who have had those kinds of experiences of God's wonderful working in our lives, and then, but it was like, "But what about, what have you done for me lately? What are you doing for me right now?" And they grumble. They're grumbling in the wilderness, just as Israel grumbled in the wilderness. "What are you going to do for us?" And Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it isn't Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives his life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." And Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." And in light of the words of Jesus, we say once again, "Yes, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Give us our daily bread." And that daily bread is Jesus Christ himself. And the relationship that we have with God through Jesus Christ, that daily bread is the intimacy that we know with the Father, because Jesus came in the flesh and offered his flesh and his blood to forgive us of our sins, to redeem us, and to reconcile us with that Creator that Ron read to us a few moments ago out of Genesis 1, when everything was good. And now through the blood of Christ, the relationship is restored through that sacrifice. Yes, Lord, give us that living bread, that bread that comes down from heaven, that we may eat and never die. Fill our hearts and our souls with that bread. Fill them with God. Fill our souls with the life that's ours in Jesus Christ. And then we can live through any day. We can face any circumstance that this world will ever bring before us. Anywhere with Jesus. Anywhere with Jesus, we're not afraid. Anywhere with Jesus, we're not alone. Anywhere with Jesus, we can go to sleep. We can find peace. Anywhere with Jesus. Because he is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives us life. And we don't doubt. And we cling to God. And we will trust in him. We'll trust in him today. We'll trust in him every single day. God has always provided our daily bread. He has always. Even when I look back to those days when he said no to me and he broke my heart, he provided my daily bread even so. Just in ways I hadn't anticipated, in ways maybe I wouldn't have asked. But has he ever forsaken us? Has he ever failed to provide for our needs? Has he ever been unfaithful in his promises? No. And he never will. And he sealed that through the offering up of Jesus Christ for us. Our life is in him. And so we look to God today for our daily bread, and we thank him and we praise him for extending it to us, for blessing us with what we need this day. God has provided. Praise be to God. And among us today, those who don't know that life, who don't know that confidence, who don't know that peace, It's because you haven't come to Christ, the living bread, the bread that's come down from heaven. The bread is his flesh. He said, I've offered it up. I've given it. It's the sacrifice for sins. The way to have life, the way to have that kind of confidence is to begin by taking care of the biggest problem in your life, which is your sin, and being reconciled to the Father through the blood of Jesus Christ. The price has been paid. Will you confess him as Lord? Will you accept his lordship over you? Will you be obedient joyfully to the grace of God extended in the gospel of Jesus Christ and find the cleansing for your sin through the body of Christ that was offered up for you? If you are ready to put him on in baptism to begin that life of faith, we invite you to the one who cares for us every day, the one in whom we have such confidence today, and face the future with confidence, because he will provide for our every need according to his grace and to his wisdom. To the Father, we invite all. To the Son, Jesus Christ, the living bread, we invite you, while we stand and as we sing.